Hi, this is Phil Hendry. It's time for episode 444 of the Classic Podcast from April of 2003. It's Ted Bell, who comments on the indictment of Tyco CEO Dennis Kozlowski. And in so doing, Ted says something predictable. He says, you just don't know the pressure, you don't know the hardship that the wealthy suffer. It's one thing to talk about what the poor suffer, but you don't know what it's like to be rich. Here's Ted Bell, episode 444 of the Classic Podcast.
I wanted to ask you on, Ted, because I know you were very familiar with the Tyco case, that of Dennis Kozlowski, a man who was charged with any number of escapades as a corporate executive having to do with, cooking books, etc.
The entire Enron thing, more or less.
Yeah, the Enron, that kind of thing. And this guy, Kozlowski, one of the interesting aspects of him, or one of the interesting aspects to his story, is that he was spending an inordinate amount of money on personal things, like a $2 million toga party.
Well, he had the money to spend. And the jury's not out on this, Phil. Although the jury came in, there was a mistrial, I think.
Well, there's a mistrial because one of the jurors wanted to acquit him, and then apparently got a threatening letter from someone who doesn't want to acquit him. And so there's a whole mistrial. And the feeling is justice has not been done, that this is one of these fat cats that has slipped through the noose, if you will.
Let's slow down a little bit, Phil, because I happen to know some of the principles. I can tell you that the Tyco case is not unlike the Enron case, the WorldCom case. I don't know whether or not a law has been broken. I do know there's a mistrial, and I know there's a lot of stockholders involved, and I know there's an awful lot of this sort of, if you'll pardon me, there's a lot of chest beating and a lot of tears, crocodile or otherwise, that are being shed over this story. But I've often said that these stories, excuse me, Phil, these cases all come down to sort of this difference between the wealthy, the people that do the employing, the people that do the risk-taking, the people that do the business building, and the middle or lower classes. And I think that much of the misunderstanding comes from the fact that we don't know each other. But primarily, I hear a lot of criticism of the wealthy, but I know very few people who know what it's like to be wealthy.
And well, but most people will tell you it's got to be easy to be wealthy.
Well, you know what? I hear all about the injustice that's done to the poor, done to the stockholders, done to the middle class. What about the injustice that is done oftentimes to, if you will, those of us who are in the upper reaches of income, upper middle class to upper class?
Well, are you saying that Mr. Kozlowski has had an injustice done to him because he was even put on trial?
Well, no. Everybody's saying it's an injustice that this guy got to walk.
Well, it was, again, one of those cases like the Enron, like the WorldCom, that involved a lot of money.
Well, there are injustices that occur to the wealthy that we never hear about. Having a lot of employees, I see this every day. Because I have the money, they don't. Because I am the boss, they're not. And I see how I'm treated differently. And
give me an example of an injustice, if you will, or something that happens to wealthy or upper middle class people.
Well, I have workers, who will have a baby shower, or they'll have a birthday party. They'll say, well, hey, Ted, will you come to my house? We're having a baby shower. Ted, would you and your wife, Marcy, they know Marcy. Marcy's been a part of my business for a great time. Do you want to come down to our house for this or that? And when you go to one of these homes, you're in a home that doesn't have a lot of room for entertaining. It's not a comfortable place. A lot of times they'll say, well, can we have it at my place? No, I'd like to have it. They want to have it done at their house. And these are the little things that
I don't understand, because you have to go to somebody's smaller home.
Because I'm used to I got 8,000 square feet in Beverly Hills. You have a very beautiful home. We have a cabana. You have a pool house and places where we can entertain. I'd be happy to have baby showers at my house for my workers. But they make me go down to their house where there is, I asked one of the young ladies who was having a baby shower, I said, who is your caterer? And she said, well, we made the food ourselves. That, I think, is a health risk. I think when you're talking about individuals who are used to being at parties in more expansive areas, confining them to smaller backyards, I think when you're talking about individuals who are used to having parties catered at fully stubbed in gas barbecues, and he's operating with a coal barbecue that could be unsafe, the injustice is there, and yet nobody wants to talk about that.
All right, I'm talking with Ted Bell about injustice and how the Tyco guy walked today from a mistrial, Dennis Kozlowski. You're saying that rich people have to suffer injustice, too.
Well, what we're hearing about is how this guy got screwed, that guy got screwed, you know, the stockholders got screwed, the little guy. So I got a beautiful BMW 760. You've seen it, right?
It's like a, what is that, a V12?
It's a V12, 440 horse. I got 48 valves in that. Now, I've talked on your show about it. Things that happen to a man who may have money. When I take the car to be serviced, they give me a loaner, and I sit still for it. I don't say anything. I get a C-Series Mercedes with vinyl seats. I sit still for that. I never say anything about it. I get invited to someone's house for a baby shower, and it's down in Alhambra, or it's in a place where it's too small. You know, so I don't say anything about it. I got invited to go to my niece's alumni party up in a very small college town. We stayed at a Best Western. There's no Four Seasons. I don't say anything about it. I keep my mouth shut. I sit still for it. And on we go. The point that I'm making, injustice is felt at all levels, and I get a little sick and tired of hearing about how the wealthy are always getting away with things. The lives we lead have their fair share of injustice and trials and tribulations, and for once I'd like to hear middle-class people and poor people just... I don't know the way, just maybe shut their mouths or something. I just don't talk about it as much.
All right, Ted Bell is with us. It's kind of a sociological question, I guess. And but you're talking about injustice happening to the rich. Dennis Kozlowski is the head of Tyco. This whole Tyco scandal, as you know, the cooked books, the expenses charged off on the business for personal things. Stockholders were up in arms, and there were prosecutions. Well, there was a mistrial declared today. Doesn't that seem like a miscarriage of justice to you when there's a mistrial because a juror got threatened? Doesn't that sort of bespeak something away from the trial itself? Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Ted Bell.
But you see, again, you're missing the point on the fact that injustice happens to the wealthy as well. And I've illustrated a couple of these. The wealthy remain very strong, and we're silent about injustices. It's the middle class who cry about it. And I will say again, Phil, everybody knows what it's like to be poor. Everyone knows what it's like to...
Were you poor?
I wasn't poor, but I was middle class. Everyone knows what it's like, poor, middle class, or whatever. But very, very few know what it's like to be wealthy. And let me tell you something. I can give an example. Marcy and I usually get access to some decent seats over at the Disney Music Hall. We usually get Robert Mondavi seats. And we usually have him, we went over to for the producers.
Robert Mondavi, the winemaker?
That's right. And usually we use his seats. We went over the other night, in fact, to see La Boheme, which is the last Berman production, and we were told, the guy said to me, you sit in the mezzanine. And I shut my mouth, and I sat down, I let an usher tell me what to do, and I sat there, and I sort of mused because I knew I was coming on your program. I thought, look at this. But there's millions of Americans who don't care. They don't care about me. They don't care about John Stokely. You know John. He's the owner of one of the indoor soccer teams.
Yeah.
John is a very wealthy. But do you think anybody cares that this is a guy who's got to walk, park his car 3 blocks away in the dead of night to go down to a business meeting he's having? Because they got no valet parking or anything like that. Okay. You think anyone cares about that? No. They hate him because he's rich. And of these stockholders, really.
Stockholders are really what? They're little people? I mean, and by the way, the things you're talking about, you mentioned having to stay at a Best Western. You're mentioning having to have a C-Series Mercedes loaner with vinyl seats. This injustice that you are talking about compared to a guy ripping off stockholders, okay?
No, but you see, you don't get it because you're not wealthy. I'm saying you don't understand.
Doesn't that seem like... There's no comparison there. If I'm a stockholder and I get ripped off by Dennis Kozlowski at Tyco, you're telling me that I'm suffering less than you having to have a C-Series Mercedes with vinyl seats?
Have you ever been rich? Have you ever been rich?
No, sir, I have not.
All right, then you don't know what it is to be rich. And, you know, I really get a kick out of a lot of these poor guys. Oh, yeah, you don't know what it's like down here on the street, huh? Let me tell you something. You don't know what it's like on my street. Okay.
Well, what is so different about being...
It's more difficult to be wealthy.
Why?
Well, let me ask you a question, Phil. You see all these guys who win the lottery, $60 million, $70 million, $80 million, you never hear from them again? You want to know why? Because it's easy to make money. It's tougher to know what to do with everybody, okay? And I tell you what, you give $60 million to a guy like me or a guy like Dennis Kozlowski, you'll turn it into $300 million in a few months, right? Give $60 million to some guy that bought the ticket down at some delicatessen in Koreatown, and I'll tell you something right now, he'll run through that dough in a year and a half. You mark my words. So I'm tired of...
Okay, a guy like Kozlowski takes the company's money and has a $2 million toga party for his wife. Is that right?
What do you mean, is that right? Because the guy gets to have a party?
With the company's money?
I don't know what crimes were committed, but why do you indict a man simply because he knows how to have a good time? And most of, like, my employees invite me down to their house, oh, would you like to have something to eat, Mr. Bell? I said, well, you know, I'll pass because I know what I'm going to get. We went the other night, I saw they had cold cuts out on a tile counter. See, so again, there's health issues. And I understand it's hard for a lot of people to grasp, but it's like for me, the day you make over 400 grand and come and talk to me, otherwise, you sort of look stupid talking about it.
You're not calling me stupid, are you?
I'm not calling you stupid. I think you look stupid complaining about it.
All right, look, 1-800-449-8686, the number here in the Phil Hendry Show. If I'm hearing him correctly, he's saying, hey, you know what, Dennis Kozlowski, sure, he, you know, everybody complains about the rich, but you guys don't know we get injustices too? Look, this guy Kozlowski at Tyco, I don't know whether the guy's guilty or innocent, because I got to assume that he's innocent till proven guilty. But we know from other cases, money's... You know, private stockholder money or a capital expense has been, you know, illicitly charged off when it was actually used for personal use. All this kind of crap. But Mr. Bell is saying there is injustice everywhere and the wealthy suffer injustice as well. I'm not a rich man, but it doesn't sound like a tough thing for me if a guy gave me a loaner car that was a C-Series Mercedes with vinyl seats. I don't feel like I'd be suffering. But then I'm not rich. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Kittens are tasty. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Talking with Ted Bell from Ted's in Beverly Hills. Ted owns a big steakhouse, a prominent businessman. We're talking about Dennis Kozlowski, who his trial was declared a mistrial because of some technicality.
Well, you call it a technicality, Phil, but it was a mistrial because, and I think it's a rare mistrial that is a.
Well, it was a technicality. A juror, you know, got threatened in a letter.
Well, you're assuming that Mr. Kozlowski is guilty, and what I'm trying to tell you right now is you and a lot of people in America are playing with fire because you're starting to... there's this indictment of the wealthy that's going on around in this country that I think has got to end. And I'll tell you right now, I am fighting mad. Just because I'm worth eight figures doesn't mean you get to just put me on trial for things. All right? We have to suffer as much as the little man, and I'm getting a little tired of hearing about the little man, about the little stockholder, about the, you know, something. You pay your money, you take your chances. That's what my father used to say. My wife Marcy comes home from, she was in tears the other day. She was at Sally Hershberger's, which is a very famous salon. She does Meg Ryan's hair and a few. And somebody had a heart attack in front of the driveway in a Toyota Camry, and she couldn't get into the. She couldn't get into the salon, all right? I said to her, look, these things happen. You've got to live with the suffering. And a lot of people who are poor don't understand, you mess with the rich. You know.
Well, you're starting to sound like Big Brother here.
Why? What, because I have money? Why do you get to make fun of me just because I have money? But I tell you something right now, Dennis Kozlowski walked today, and there may be some justice in that.
I doubt it, Ted. I doubt it sincerely. 1-800-
Well, how do you know? You don't know the particulars of the case.
1-800-449-8686. Mary, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell. Mary?
I'm here.
Yes, go ahead.
Well, I guess the first thing I want to say is I've never heard a more shallow person speak in my life than this gentleman I'm listening to. And
I love it. When you're wealthy, you're shallow. When you're wealthy, you're shallow. That's the number one insult.
And like, I just want to say that I'm not a wealthy person, and I'm not a poor person. I guess I could say I'm a middle-class person, especially since I drive a Toyota Camry.
I guessed it as soon as you called.
But I guess what I really want to say is this, that I think life is relative, and I think that if I was invited to a very poor person's house and they served me bread and water, I would be appreciative of what they were sharing with me and what they were giving me.
All right, Mary, you need to put her on hold. Okay. We got to have a dialogue on this show. I don't want anybody giving speeches. Is she still there? Are you there,
still
Mary?
Here.
Okay. Please allow somebody to say something. All right?
Okay.
Thanks for calling. 1-800-449-8686. Merle, go ahead.
Yeah. Did you hang up on her?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Pretty much. I mean, I don't understand this whole just about this trial and everything. From what I'm hearing over the radio.
Let me tell you what it is, Merle. Okay. It's a wealthy man that they want to string up by his private parts because he's wealthy.
No, that's not the case at all. Kozlowski's accused of robbing his company.
Okay. And, I mean, is this guy rich or something?
Yeah.
Okay, and then there was this trial.
Well, no offense, but this gentleman here is an example of what I'm talking about. He really doesn't get the particulars of high finance.
Right.
And as a result, sir, you really don't understand the world that I'm talking about. And what I'm trying to say is those of us who have money, a lot of money,
right,
suffer as much as anybody else. I don't know if you saw the movie Wall Street.
In reality, you know, yes. Okay, everybody has ups and downs.
Exactly.
In this world.
And regardless
of how much money you got, you're going to have
downfalls. That's my point.
Right. You know,
when you're used to staying in a Four Seasons, staying at a Best Western is bad. When you're used to a BMW 760 or Mercedes is bad. That's all I say.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, if you've grown adapt to something, okay.
Right, right. You're just telling me stuff I already know.
Right.
So, yeah.
But see,
I don't really have anything to learn from you.
Right. But I grew up in California.
Is he still on the air?
Yes, he's on the air.
Yeah.
But I don't have anything to learn from him.
Yeah, but
the man's giving his opinion.
Listen.
Go ahead.
Listen. I grew up in a ghetto in California.
Here we go. Here we go. Up from my
now I have
stuff.
Climbed. I've climbed from that point up to a middle class level of my life. Okay, I own land, I own my home and everything else. I don't have an 8,000-square-foot home. I have a 2,400-square-foot home. Okay, when I bring somebody over, I'm proud of what I have because I earned what I have.
Yeah, but if you invited me to your home, as much as I might think you're a great guy, it would be a little insulting for me.
Why?
Well, why do I want to go to your house when I could be at mine?
Well, the same reason why I would go to your house instead of being at mine. Maybe I
do want to be at my
house because it's so large.
No, you'd want to be at my house because I've got a pool table. I've got a lot of things to do. Why do I want to go to your house and sit there?
Okay, let me explain to you why.
And eat the food that you.
Let me explain to you why. Okay, my father's brother was the governor of the state of Georgia.
You still have a 2,800 square foot.
Very wealthy man, though.
That's great, Merle.
You see what I'm saying?
You know what? I can't eat the food that you people.
What do you mean, you people? What do you mean, you people?
Well, he's going to
you people. I
you're going to bring me to your house. I'm going to eat.
I eat filet mignon. I've sit down to caviar. I've sit down to all kinds of stuff. Same thing that you eat. What do you mean?
What do you mean a 2,800 square foot house and you eat filet? I don't understand.
All right.
You don't understand?
Hold on. 1-800-449-8686. The wealthy suffer just as much as the rich. The wealthy suffer just as much as the poor, according to my guest here, Ted Bell. So why is everybody dumping on Tennis Kozlowski and Tyco? That poor guy has had it tough. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Talk radio's speed trap.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Okay, I'm on with Ted Bell from Ted to Beverly Hills. Tell me a little bit about when you're talking about the wealthy have to suffer injustice, and that you are, you've made the comment, you're on the warpath, you're sick and tired of hearing about poor people getting in unjustly treated. What about the rich?
Yeah, I'm saying it right out. You know, I'm on the warpath. I'm saying it right. I'm saying something that no one's ever said before in the context of what we're talking about. I've heard people say, you know, don't put me down because I'm wealthy, but I'm getting sick and tired of hearing from these stockholders. I mean, let me give you an example, Phil. I received a call from a very good friend of mine. I call him John, although if you met him, you'd want his autograph. He's a very powerful guy.
What, is he an actor or something?
I can't comment. But if you met him, and if everyone in your audience met him, they'd immediately want his autograph. And I'm not even saying it's a he, but I'm using that as a,
nom de plume or whatever.
Right. Now, this guy runs a top ad agency in Los Angeles. He told me that they didn't recognize him at Burke Williams. They made him wait for a spot treatment. And I said, all right, now do you understand the times we live in? I said to him, this is the kind of thing that people don't understand. So you might as well complain to me, but don't complain to anybody else. He said, well, what are you talking about? I said, look, I know what you're going through. But if you talk to the average person, like these people that are, you know, the ones I'm calling your show tonight?
Yeah.
I don't think I've talked to one person who makes more than six figures a year.
I mean, well, how would you know that?
Well, it's just I can tell by the sound of their... You know, their voices, but he says he went over to Burke Williams to try to get a spot treatment, and they made him wait. I said, you know, we commiserated, but I said, don't repeat it to anybody who makes less than seven figures yet. They're not going to understand it because we don't get sympathy. We don't get justice. We get kicked in the privates because we have money.
Yeah, but I don't, and maybe it's because I'm not rich. I don't know why it's suffering to have to wait for a spot treatment.
I know you don't know it's suffering because you don't make the kind of money that I make.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Rusty. Go ahead, Rusty. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I have all the respect in the world for people who make a lot of money. And I hope to do so more and more myself. But I think it is the height of arrogance for this guy, whoever he is, to talk about...
I'm Ted Fowler, right? I own one of the most successful steakhouses in the West Coast.
That's fine. God bless you. But I think it is the height of arrogance for you to talk about dealing with people who don't make as much money as you do in terms of having to go to their houses and you're afraid you're going to get some bad food because they prepared it themselves or something like that.
I think it's a concern, yes, sir. I think it's a concern. You got to understand that first of all, I'm a restaurateur, so I know that the Board of Health makes me keep my restaurant cleaner than your kitchen. Now, that's not any comment on you. Now, number two, when you go to a guy's house and he says, do you want to come over and we'll sit in the backyard, I'm not sure what's he driving at. Can you tell me?
Well, what do you mean?
What are you in the backyard?
When a guy says, come to your house and sit in the, what is wrong with that?
What is it? I live in an 8,000 square foot home. I've got a pool house. Doesn't he understand that when he asks me to sit on a lawn chair in his backyard, he doesn't understand, so why am I even talking about it?
Well, what is it? Explain to us, what is it like to sit on a lawn chair in someone's backyard instead of sitting in your pool house?
It is a deprivation. It is something that I have, that I had, that I don't have anymore. In other words, it is going without. In other words, it is a suffering that is experienced just like the poor and just like the middle class.
What do you sit in?
I beg pardon?
What do you sit in when you're not...
No, I'm talking... I have a pool house. I've got a pool that's 41 feet long, 22 feet wide, with
okay,
a springboard.
Right?
What do I want to sit in the guy's backyard and watch his sprinklers go off? So you're asking me to sit and get eaten by bugs...
No,
I don't understand what this guy's.
Well, no, I'm not asking you to do anything.
I can tell if people are calling, you're just dying to ask me what it's like to be rich. Why don't you just ask me what it's like to be rich?
Listen, let me tell you something. If I had an attitude like you, if I thought that being rich brought with it an attitude like you've got, I would want to be poor.
So you want me to come over to your house?
No,
with your chain link fence.
Let me tell you something.
With your chain link fence, with your mobile home parked in the driveway.
I grew up in an upper class neighborhood. Father with a good job.
Well,
uh, I've got some education. I'm doing well myself. And let me tell you something, bud. I wouldn't have you in
tell
my
me about
house.
The, tell me about the last Clemson game you went to. You know, look, I got floor seat. You wouldn't have me. Let's just say you
I
and I were friends.
I wouldn't have you in my house you with would, the attitude that you've got.
Do you got a dog?
Yes.
And you let it run around in the yard? So you don't have a run for it?
My dog lives in the house and in the yard.
Oh, my.
What?
I can't explain.
All right, Rick, Rusty, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. What is wrong with that?
What? Look at, again, to each his own. But I got to go to a guy's house where the dog's not in a run? You're going to ask me to do that? And then you have the arrogance to say to me, oh, the rich, they don't suffer. You know, to me, I want to just, I would, Phil, honest to God, there is a biblical phrase, and it goes something like this. I would rather put my eyes out with a stick from a tree then look at you.
That, is that in the Bible?
I believe it is.
Here's Heather. Heather, go ahead.
Hi. You know, I just want to say that I think you really have no idea what real suffering is.
Oh, here we go.
I knew I was going to get that call.
I don't know what real suffering is.
Well, then use another term, because suffering is not being recognized at Williams. It's not eating food from someone of a lesser status than you. That's not suffering. So,
well, ma'am, how do you know?
I think you're using the wrong term.
May I ask you, are you wealthy?
No, I'm middle class.
There you go. So you don't know.
I do know what it's like to be wealthy. I have very close friends that are wealthy.
No, you don't know. If you have friends, it's like saying I've got a black friend. So that means I know what it's like to be black. Of course you don't.
No. But you know what the difference between my wealthy friends are is that they're humble. They don't have the arrogance that you have.
Heather, can I tell you something? When you leave their house, they laugh. When you leave their house, they laugh. And
they
go, somebody open a window. Yes, they do. That's what we do. When we hit,
what does that mean? That's what we do.
When we have our middle class friends over, we'll say, oh yeah, it's really great. And then when they leave, we'll go, Jesus, someone open a window.
No, you know what? I think that you're labeling the wealthy as something that they're not. And I think that you're giving those who are wealthy a bad name.
No, ma'am.
I think you're giving them less credit because I think that you are just arrogant.
I think
that you have no idea what real suffering is to eat at someone's house or to sit on a lawn chair versus your pool house, and that's suffering. To drive a
E-class
BMW as your loner.
When you're used to it, yeah. Look, my wife...
Now, I do understand that. I do understand when you're accustomed to things. But suffering for 2 days while your car is in the shop getting its new TV screen put in the back seat.
I didn't have a new TV screen put in the back seat, okay? Look, I have about a 7,800 square foot home, all right? We've got a beautiful pool. Now you invite me over to Heather. Let's say I go to Heather's house.
Uh-huh.
And there I go, and I say, and I ask,
I
go into your bathroom, and you got the big wicker basket with the toilet paper rolls in it. And you're asking me to live like that.
And where is your toilet paper, sir?
Well, I can tell you, I never see it. We have a lady that comes in three times. We have a lady that comes in 3 times a week and does a lot of those things, yes.
Okay, and you know what? I have a maid that comes once a week and cleans for us, too. And you know what?
That's a cleaning woman. That's not a maid.
Okay, excuse me. I'm sorry. I used the wrong term.
Big difference.
But you know what?
Listen,
I think you're using the wrong term by labeling what you're going through as suffering.
Yeah, I agree with Heather. I mean, look, would you say that...
Well, of course you agree with Heather, Phil. You agree with every call. You pander to your callers. What I'm trying to do is enlighten you and show you a new way. And
would you say that a poor child hungry for food is your suffering and not having your BMW, but having a... Is that equal to that?
Phil, how many people that are listening to your show right now are actually starving? I'm talking about these people, the nice lady like Heather, who may have friends over and they eat the cube cheese on the cracker, and that's great. I can't live like that. But my employees, when they invite me over for a baby shower, I just had Jim Berman and his wife, they just had a baby. They had a baby shower at their home. They got a little 1,800-square-foot thing. You know, it's a home down here. And I said, you know, I can't do it. I can't live like that anymore. So the my employees are getting
You refuse to go to their home?
I asked if they would like to have it at our home.
Yeah,
our home. We have a beautiful backyard.
You're so beneath everyone else is so beneath you. And I think that you need to realize that...
Ma'am, I want to play... You sound like an intelligent... I want to play a commercial for you. We produced this commercial at very great expense. The FCC, after I spent the money on this commercial, forced me to edit my commercials so now it sounds ridiculous. That's money out of my pocket. Listen
That's
to this.
That's called business.
Yes, but listen, please just listen to this. This is a lot of money I spent on this.
Chats of Beverly Hills.
And it goes, steakhouse, come on deck. And then I talk here about the different specials we have, all right? I went to an ad agency in Dallas, Texas. The whole session cost about $500,000. Listen to what they made me do to this.
Here at Chats, we want to put our meat in your...
Now...
I can understand why the FCC said that.
Why?
Well, you had to beep out a word that's going to make it sound bad.
I'm asking Heather, I'm not asking you.
You know what?
We want to put our meat in here, and then they beeped out a word, and if you heard the word, it's not obscene at all. It's
They're
not...
called regulations, sir. Things which happen to everybody. It
do you have to deal with that? Do you have to deal with a commercial being edited? No, because all Heather has to do is go down to the pick and save, put on her vest, have
show you their
membership card, and then you're done.
All right, Heather, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. In an effort to make yourself look good...
Did you hear that? We want to put our meat in your beep? That's something that was done to me by the federal government. And average Joes like Heather, the only thing she's got to worry about is whether or not what? I don't know. I mean, is her husband going to be able to... her husband going to be able to pick up that four-pack of Slim Pack on the way home?
Here is Aaron. Aaron, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes. Actually, I just wanted to say that this fellow is right. We can't truly understand the kind of stuff he goes through because he is much richer than the other 90% of the Americans that are out there that buy his product and work for slave wages in his stores.
What do you mean slave
and
wages? I don't pay. I've got to pay minimum wage, sir. I have to pay minimum wage, sir. Federally mandated.
Minimum wage,
you,
of course.
Yeah. So you
and the thing
in,
about it is you're
right.
out there bragging about being worth, what is it, eight figures? Is that what you're saying?
I'm worth over eight figures.
You said eight figures, I think.
That's correct.
And you're bragging about that, but you're talking about someone that's making less than, say, what, $20,000 a year?
Wait a minute.
Was about
but,
right?
But no, what I'm saying,
okay.
I'm not complaining
okay.
about them. I'm just saying,
I'm
why do I have to go down? Why do I have to go down to their house?
I am agreeing with
okay, Aaron, you got to let him talk. What did you say,
Ted? I'm sorry.
I said, I don't care if you want to live like that, Aaron. That's your business. Why do I got to go to your house? Why can't they have their baby shower at my house? I've got a billiard room, a lot of things. I don't want to go to their house.
I'm sure. Well,
Yeah, you're making fun of you. You mean you don't want to go to their house?
I'm not making fun of
you.
I'm just saying
that I don't
want to
sit in a lawn chair watching the sprinklers go off and watching some kid who's got some kind of Chef Boyardee smeared on his face and he's naked from the waist down and he's running around and no one is... I'm having a hard time talking to a man whose yearly income is the same price as my new pool cabana. You know what I'm saying? So
I understand.
It's just, you understand me, though, don't you, Aaron? Okay, now listen.
Oh, I understand completely.
Oh, here we go again with this.
Now listen to this. We want to put our meat in your beef. Now, I spent over $500,000. You know who this is that's singing? This is Julie London.
You're kidding.
No.
You're
going to
let him advertise
We got Julie London to sing our jingle. Listen to this. The great Julie London.
And he's going to get
to would you please be quiet, Aaron? This is my commercial.
No.
I said to shut up, Aaron.
You're advertising this on your show.
We want to put our meat in your beef. Julie London, who doesn't even get out of bed for less than, say, a payday of less than 50 G's. And they edited
but
her out.
Needless to say, this man is correct. We don't understand... And we can understand because most of us aren't elitist.
And most of you really,
people.
And most of you don't really make a lot of money.
No, we don't, because you're the top 1% of the country.
I know. I read the Wall Street Journal.
Oh, good for you. It's nice to know you have to read something yourself and don't have someone read it to you.
Say that again.
Yeah, minimum wage.
Someone read it to me.
I'm sure
that's a good idea. Hey, you want the job?
Here at Chats, we want to put our meat in your...
That's not Julie London.
What are you talking about?
What do you mean Julie London who did the Marlboro commercials?
Well, it's either that's Kate Hudson. It's one of them. Kate Hudson doesn't even roll out of the rack for less than $1 million a day. And I got her into a studio to cut that commercial. We want to put our meat, and I can't say the word, and they beep it out. And to me,
I must say, gentlemen, I am impressed that he doesn't pay someone to read his newspaper for him.
I'm offering you a job.
That's
I'm offering you the job, Aaron. You walked into that.
I've worked with people like you, and I already have my own business.
I'm doing quite well. I hung up on him, Aaron. Thank you for your call. The thing that did it was the na-na-na-na-na. That... Kate Hudson doesn't roll out of bed for less than a million a day. All right, 1-800-449-8686.
Listen to what they did to my commercial.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Oh, why did they do it to my commercial? I'm sorry. Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Here I We want to put our meat in your
plate.
Are you trying to tell me all it was plate?
That's all it was, plate. We want to put our meat on your plate. And the FCC thought, oh, well, that could be taken a certain way.
Are you kidding me?
No, what do you think I'm trying to tell you? That's a lot of money that I spend. I got to butcher it. I had to butcher it. And I had to call up Kate and I had to say, honey, they butchered your work. You know who answered the phone was Chris Robinson, you know, the big rock star. You know him?
Yeah, yeah.